Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, we do it 9 o'clock every Tuesday, and it's been a whole lot more fun to do it in 2024 than it was 2 years ago, where we got super excited if somebody ranked the Texans 26th in the NFL. They are in the tall grass now, the Texans are. They are in the penthouse or near it in these power rankings. So we do it. We power rank the power rankings. Who did the best job of evaluating the Houston Texans? And this is done with extreme bias so that you know up front. But we look at five different outlets, SI.com, NFL.com, CBSSports.com, that's Pete Prisco, The Athletic, and ESPN.com. So let's go, Seth. Let's do this here. The power ranking of the power rankings. Of those five, fifth, coming in fifth in the power ranking of the power rankings, SI.com.
Oh, you sons of bitches.
Yes.
Excuse my language.
That's how you should feel.
I'll never frequent that new hotel they're building down in Clear Lake or wherever the hell it is.
They are building. What a weird diversification of your business. Yeah, they get
they've got a name brand appeal, and other than that,
that's some IP.
They're slapping their name on some management company that's gonna run a hotel for them.
Yep, and maybe that'll take some of the sting out of the fact that they have the Texans ranked eighth in the power rankings. Eighth in the power rankings. Here's what they say about the Houston Texans. They're actually up from 10th last week, so they actually moved them up. I hate this browser. It's reloading. So I'll get to what they said about him here in just a second. God, the internet sucks. Eighth is what they have them. Here we go. On the Houston Texans. Right behind the seventh-rated Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Buccaneers at seven. What the hell? They say this. There were a lot of very important and meaningful things that happened for the Texans in the win over the Bills. But honestly, watching a player joyfully and carelessly pull off an RKO in the middle of the game tells me all I need to know about Houston and where this team is at. It's a headspace that coaches work a lifetime to achieve. They're talking about Neville Hewitt, who I believe was on a return of some sort, came in the play, whoever the Buffalo player was sort of being held by his legs by some Texans. And Neville Hewitt came in and just somersault dragged him to the ground, and it did. It looked like a Randy Orton RKO, man.
It was impressive as hell. That was a hard one. That was another one where I thought it was Neville Hewitt, but I couldn't tell because I couldn't read the damn numbers.
Yeah.
It was from up where we were.
That's right.
So it stole away from the majesty of his RKO a little bit.
Yep.
Is an RKO the best move that it looked like?
It looked like an RKO, a diamond cutter maybe, from Diamond Dallas Page. They're all kind of in that same family of ones where you grab a guy by his head on your shoulder and you drag him to the ground.
And go the backwards way.
Yeah. Let gravity do the work.
Like a reverse horse collar or something.
A little bit. So they have them eighth, SI.com. I will just say this. SI.com has them way lower than these other outlets have them. These other outlets are super bullish on the Houston Texans. So fifth in the power ranking of the power rankings is SI.com. Number four, NFL.com has the Texans fourth in their power rankings. Fourth.
All right, I don't like this.
Why?
Fourth. Okay.
Fourth. All right. Fourth. Is that too high for you right now?
Yes, it's too high for me.
Well, you better buckle up for this segment, my friend. You're about to get
You know what it is? You've told me this multiple times. You got to step back and look around the league right now and ask yourself, wait a second, who are the really good teams right now? It's very, very murky. So,
Yep.
I want them to stay hungry, Sean. I can't. Fourth.
Fourth. Here's what they say. And I'll read a few of the teams right after them so we can kind of workshop what you just said. Here's what NFL.com says about them. I think this is Eric Edholm does these. Sunday's thrilling win came with a cost. Nico Collins left the game following his touchdown catch with a hamstring injury. Might not be a serious one, but it did underscore just how much the 25-year-old wideout means to the offense. After Collins left the game, C.J. Stroud threw a pick, lost a fumble, and averaged just 6.7 yards per attempt. And that passes the eye test. It was a much shorter pass. Even with Stephon Diggs stinging his former team with several big catches, 5 of 13 yards or more, Houston's defense was unrelenting against Josh Allen, and the Texans won the game with better end-of-half execution than the Bills in the final minute of the second and fourth quarters. This is still a team to be reckoned with, but Houston has been outscored 67-40 in second halves and still needs to learn to finish a little stronger. That's the most astute observation that we've had in a power ranking for a team this high up in a while. Like, this is a team that, for a team that's very good, you're 4-1, you're a very good football team in the NFL. They go through lulls, man. They go through some maddening lulls offensively this year.
Yeah, they do, and they just haven't been a prolific scoring offense. You know, they just the number one advanced stat that I like to go by is points scored, and they're just middle of the pack. Yeah. Hey, how many points have you scored? All right. You played the same number of games as all these other teams? Okay, cool.
Out of here.
You haven't been scoring that many points.
Out of here with that nerdy stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Points scored.
See, so that's fundamentally where I am right now with the Texans offense is, man, they're doing a lot of good things, but either through self-inflicted wounds or what have you, it's just not really showing up.
Yeah. Number three. Power ranking of the power rankings, The Athletic, who also has the Texans fourth in their rankings. They say this: Nico Collins leads the league in receiving yards. He has 567 receiving yards through five games, and he missed half the game on Sunday. He's tied for fifth in targets. Nico is. He caught only two passes Sunday before leaving with a hamstring injury, but one of them was a 67-yard touchdown. After being drafted 27th, he's 10th in the league. Oh, this is them doing like a fantasy breakdown of the team. That's their gimmick for the week. Talking about Stephon Diggs is averaging 81.7 receiving yards over the last three games. Diggs still hasn't scored a touchdown since week one. Well, he hasn't scored a receiving touchdown. He had a rushing touchdown last week. So they're just breaking down the Texans from a fantasy standpoint. So they have him fourth also. The Athletic does. So we put the Athletic third right now.
You know where I can't get over psychologically? And, you know, some of this boils into name brand appeal and stuff that shouldn't matter necessarily. But the Ravens, where do they have the Ravens? Have the Texans above the Ravens or below?
They have this particular one has the Texans behind. The Ravens are three right now in this one.
Okay.
The previous one that had them fourth, which was NFL.com, had the Ravens fifth.
Okay, so the Ravens and the Lions are the two teams that I don't feel comfortable being ranked ahead of right now.
Yeah.
Obviously because of the personal history with the Ravens, or the team's history with the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lions are still 3-1.
They're 3-1. They're 3-1. They're 3-1. Washington Commanders, fifth on the Athletic list at 4-1. Getting all swept up in that Kingsbury offense, man.
I just like, hey, based on this year's results so far, let's see if this balloon bursts or not.
All right, let's keep it moving. So we power rank the power rankings, and coming in second, ESPN.com, they have the Texans third. Their category is fantasy surprise, and their fantasy surprise is Nico Collins. This is DJ Bienname talking. When the Texans traded for running back Joe Mixon and for Stephon Diggs, the expectation was that all the targets would have to share the rock. That has been far from the case, as Collins has become the go-to playmaker for the Texans and leads the league in receiving yards. The Texans' passing attack flows through Collins, as Coach DeMeco Ryans called him an all-pro, and C.J. Stroud called him, quote, the best receiver in the league, end quote.
I like, you know what, Sean, I like this. I'm glad we're doing this. This is the first time we've done this year where I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm going to step back now that we're officially past the quarter mark of the season and take a look at the other teams and where their flaws and weaknesses have been and realize and recognize that, okay, the Texans, like, they feel very much like they're not firing on all cylinders. They've got untapped potential, all of that. And yet there's a lot of that around the league right now.
Yes.
And it just, boy. Okay, all right.
And just to give you an idea, yeah. The Texans are third here. I'll go through like the top eight teams. Kansas.
Yeah, I'll tell you where it feels like, okay, this doesn't feel right, if at all.
Yep.
Yeah.
Kansas City 1.
Okay.
Minnesota 2.
Sure.
Texans 3.
Okay.
Detroit 4.
I'm uneasy about it, but okay.
Baltimore 5.
That's like,
up or down, would you have them? Would you have them higher up the list, Baltimore?
I still have to have them higher than the Texans.
I do too.
They're 3-2, but the two losses were in the beginning of the season. Yeah. And Yeah.
I mean, they destroyed the same Bills team that you went to the gun with. Bills 6th. Team the Texans just beat.
I'm fine with that right now. Yeah, especially without Khalil Shakir. But
Commanders 7th. Tampa Bay, 8th.
Yeah, I'm okay with it still, yeah.
Green Bay, 9th.
Green Bay, the rubber meets the road real soon. That's the one that makes me the most nervous just because, hey, we find out in a couple weeks exactly where these two teams, the Packers and the Texans, had been basically right next to each other in all the offseason rankings.
Yeah.
And it's so many similarities in terms of a young quarterback trying to find out exactly what he is.
Yep.
That's the one I look forward to. I look forward to the power rankings after Green Bay versus Houston.
All right, we're going to get to the last power ranking. Then we've got some breaking news. We're not going to spend a ton of time on this power rank because this is big news that's breaking. CBSSports.com has the Texans third as well, Pete Prisco. Okay. So they are number one in the power ranking of the power rankings. The breaking news is this.
What is it?
The New York Jets have fired head coach Robert Saleh.
Whoa!
Head coach Robert Saleh fired by the New York Jets. Dude, I mean, Aaron Rodgers officially is the owner of the New York Jets.
Everything that they've done, Robert Saleh is being fired for not handling the situation that he probably, I don't think, had anything to do with, which is that they've got an aging quarterback and an underperforming team. Okay, all right.
Can you imagine if the next coach fired is Kevin Stefanski? That will be, you know, and that could happen. They're 1-4 right now. Mm-hmm. Stefanski's a two-time coach of the year. He's been coaching for 4 years, and he is in severe danger of getting fired because Deshaun Watson can't get his head out of his butt. And so you would have two coaches that are basically being victimized by big-time quarterback acquisitions. You know what I mean?
Are they going to make Nathaniel Hackett the interim coach?
They haven't said yet. Adam Schefter, the news literally broke 45 seconds ago.
I'm looking through the Jets, because a lot of times they just almost by default go to a guy who's been a head coach before.
Dude.
I'm looking through the Jets coaching staff, which, my God, this is some, other than Brant Boyer, who's been like on the team for the longest. And
that's your guy.
One of the best special. Yeah, I played with him. He's awesome. And he's been one of the best special teams coordinators in the NFL. I wonder if they make it Brant. Brant would have a Dan Campbell type appeal to him, and that he's just like he is a football guy, and he's got different type of energy than Dan Campbell, but like old school in a lot of ways. But other than that, they can't make Nathaniel Hackett the interim coach.
Well,
they can't.
They fired Robert Saleh. That's clearly an Aaron Rodgers move right there, isn't it? Don't you think?
Yeah, but they can't make Nathaniel Hackett. They can't.
Why stop now, dude?
Not that dopey fool. Oh, no way. There's no. But they probably will.
They may.
Oh man.
I like your case for Brant Boyer, guy who's been there through multiple staffs. You know, special teams guys are getting a little more buzz these days.
I don't want to see him go through this. I don't want to.
He's your friend. I think it's a big bump up in pay. You know,
I feel like you're getting elevated to colonel on the day that you know that you're.
There's an ambush coming.
Like, listen, all is lost. There's not a chance in hell.
Okay.
We're lucky if any of us make it out of here alive. You get to be colonel today.
Okay.
Like, oh, great. My name will be attached to history for this.
The Texans play the Jets in 24 days. What's today? Yeah. Today's the 8th. 23 days. They play them on Halloween. How does this move of Robert Saleh getting fired affect how you look at the Jets 3 weeks, 4 weeks from now?
I think the dumpster fire quotient is high. I think there's a chance that it just, however far south it's gone, it goes that much further south. It might really all go up in flames.
Yeah.
So I feel better about it.
I don't think
there's going to be enough of an interim bump or anything like that.
I think the interim bump might be for a week or two, and then the Texans are clear of that. They play in week 9. We're in week 6 right now. So we'll see. But that's huge news, man. The Jets fire. Robert Saleh was a major, major name in the coaching cycle in which he got hired. He was D'Amico Ryans before D'Amico Ryans in a way. Like, he was a DC for an elite defense in San Francisco, energetic young guy coming in and off of that Shanahan tree and just cut.
I think the podium quotient is high on this one too.
Yeah.
I think people, Jets fans and media members, I know, just got really tired of Saleh at the podium and the way, especially the way he handled the Aaron Rodgers stuff. That's where I want to give Saleh a pass on that, because it is such an awkward and weird situation with Aaron Rodgers. I thought that they overperformed last year to an extreme degree as a team, having a bunch of non-NFL quarterbacks start for them the entire season.
Yeah.
But yeah, does he get an, I don't think he gets another immediate crack at being a head coach.
Does he wind up on the Texans staff at some point?
Oh, that's a really good point, Sean. He might be, that's a really good point.
This might not be the job for him, because if he goes somewhere to be a defensive coordinator, he probably wants to be the guy calling the defenses, and D'Amico's always going to be.
But maybe D'Amico would feel comfortable with that.
Outsourcing it to him, maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah. So, I mean, obviously not this year, and I don't know that Matt Burke feels like a guy who's going anywhere after this year. I like Matt Burke a lot. I don't know that he's viewed around the league as head coach material. He's amazing. He's amazing podium material, Matt Burke.
He's awesome.
He's awesome.
He's too likable. Yeah. He's a little too likable to be an NFL head coach.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
If you're evaluating the podium stuff, like, I don't know. I actually feel like I might enjoy this guy.
He might be. Hey, by the way, congratulations to you. You win the 2024 head coach death pool. You had Robert Saleh as one of your four picks. Seth and I do. Remember, we do a pool every year. Remember when you and I each picked four head coaches a few weeks ago? Remember that?
Yeah.
You picked Nick Sirianni, Brian Daboll, Sean McDermott, Robert Saleh. You made it over the finish line, my friend. I'm still sitting here waiting for Todd Bowles, Kevin Stefanski, Dennis Allen, and Antonio Pierce to get fired, and I'm stuck. I can't. You win.
Those are all good choices there.
But like, you had the one.
Wait. I can't remember who my choices were again. Okay, go ahead.
Sirianni, Daboll, Saleh, McDermott.
Yeah, McDermott's the one. I don't think any of them. I look like, oh, that was an obviously bad choice. I feel like if the Bills season goes south, the Texans game will be pointed to specifically in the way he managed it at the end that he could get fired this year. But, okay.
I tell you what, if you had told me a couple of weeks ago that you had the two New York coaches, I would have way thought Brian Daboll gets fired before Robert Saleh.
I feel bad because I like Saleh. Saleh was a quality control coach when I was still playing for the Texans, and I liked him a lot as a quality control guy. He had an awesome energy about him. But unfortunately, I felt like he was going to be swept up in something that was not of his own making, and yet he was responsible for.
He was? Yeah, man, he's a head coach.
Or he was going to have to answer for, I should say.
20-36, right? Well, yeah, it's not a great record. He got handed Zach Wilson and 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers, man. You got to get that quarterback right. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. We'll circle back to this solid news, continue to dig into that. Early storylines for the Texans and the Patriots. That is coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Someone just asked on the text page, do we get DeNico Autry back this week? Nope. Week 7, he comes back. It was a six-game suspension, so no DeNico Autry this week. Hopefully you don't need him. It's the Patriots. We'll get into the Patriots in a second. If you're just tuning in, the big news, the Jets have fired head coach Robert Saleh. Seth, you were kind of going through the Jets staff as to who might the interim be.
Yeah.
I left the door cracked that it could be Nathaniel Hackett. It will not be Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator, who was a complete waste of time as a Denver Broncos head coach and not all that great in OC as well. It'll be defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich, who I know very little about except that he looks like an interim head football coach that could give a sugar high bump to a beleaguered New York Jets team.
He's a manly man. He's a linebackers coach turned. I think he was a defensive coordinator. He was the assistant head coach in Atlanta. Or the interim, whatever it was. He was an assistant head coach. I thought my take on him from Hard Knocks offseason was that, like, in a coaching staff full of, like, guys that just seem like gritty football dudes, he seemed like one of those old gritty, no social skill having, like, this guy's just all about football, which is good for an interim coach.
Yeah.
You want the guy that's almost just like, listen, guys, we're going to get down in the mud
this is about want to and moxie.
Take
your DVOA and shove. Yeah, exactly. So Jeff Ulbrich will be the interim head coach. We're going to get into the Patriots, but I wonder how many of these head coaches are going to rail against doing Hard Knocks. Hard Knocks was not a great look for Robert Saleh either. Remember how pro-defense and anti-offense he came across in. He came across as a head coach that was building fences in between the various factions of the team, not bringing the whole team together.
No, he would point out
a lot of fingers
flaws in the offense by like saying, at least in the clips we saw, of like, the defense is doing great. You guys are awful.
Right.
And it's not always the best to pit. You want there to be healthy competition, but yeah, I was kind of skeptical of the way he presented it.
Especially when your quarterback is Aaron Rodgers, who probably got his feelings hurt about that, you know? Like, hey. Yeah, you can.
Well, but this was back when, I mean, Aaron Rodgers was in the
you know,
it was in the preseason. He wasn't playing.
Right. But I'm guessing, like, Aaron, you know, he's got his boy Nathaniel Hackett is the one running the crew there, you know?
Yeah.
It was a shot at Hackett. All right, Patriots, early storyline. Patriots got some drama swirling around them, man, and they're 1-4 right now. They're not a team that can probably withstand a whole lot of drama. The off-field drama is Jabril Peppers, one of their captains, a safety, who, instead of playing football this past weekend, allegedly got into an altercation with a woman and included things like shoving her down, throwing her headfirst into a wall, strangling her. Police got involved. Jabril Peppers was arrested. There may or may not have been cocaine on the scene as well. There was a white powder that was described as cocaine-like.
Well, he was charged with possession, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's charged with a bunch of things. I'm finding the article's pulling up right now. I'll get all the list of charges here, but let's hear from Jerod Mayo, the head coach of the Patriots, was asked yesterday in his Monday Zoom call if Jabril Peppers was going to get put on the commissioner's exempt list.
On the Jabril Peppers situation, have you heard anything from the NFL about potentially putting him on the commissioner's exempt list?
We informed the NFL and... we're still gathering information. I know the team put out a statement earlier today, so I'm not sure, you know, how the league and how we are going to handle that going forward, but we should find out some more information over the next few days.
All right, Peppers, who turned 29 on Friday, by the way, happy birthday, was charged with assault and battery with a dangerous weapon, strangulation, and possession of a Class B substance believed to be cocaine. Now, the police report has some more graphic detail about this, where it's definitely a woman where these alleged crimes took place with. The woman alleged that Peppers hit her, choked her at least 6 times, took off her clothing, and put her outside. Police also said Peppers shoved the woman to the ground, shoved her head into a wall, put his hands around her neck to strangle her. Peppers answered the door shirtless when the police got there, nodding his head and telling police, quote, "I know what is going on," end quote. According to the documents, he was arrested.
He says that she was drunk and fell down the stairs. That's his side of the story.
So he
denied pushing her down the stairs, said she was making those allegations to destroy his career.
Okay.
There's something about answering the door with your shirt off when the cops come. I feel like that's a bad look. If I were an attorney, I would advise my future clients that, like, when the cops answer the door, put your shirt on. Give yourself your best chance of looking like you're dressed for the occasion,
well,
at least.
Okay? And especially when the first thing you say to them is you're nodding your head going, "I know what's going on." Like, that's almost like you open the door and, like, what took you so long?
Smoking a cigarette.
We laugh, but this is obviously a very serious allegations here. So it's one more distraction for a team that probably not built to take on a whole lot of distractions right now.
Whole lot of distraction in New England.
Yep.
Potential quarterback controversy.
Yeah, let's get to that.
Law enforcement officers, I'm curious. What do you, when you knock on somebody's door and they open it with their shirt off, what's your first thought?
Yes.
Like, do you take that defensive posture? I feel like I'm dropping that back foot and getting ready.
Well, you know, some of it for me too, Seth, is... they used to call it On Patrol. No, they used to call it Live PD. It's called On Patrol now. It's on Reels. It's hosted by Dan Abrams, who used to be with NBC. It's almost like the Red Zone channel for redneck crime. Like, they go, you know, they've got like a command center, and they're
like... It's like listening to a police scanner, right?
Well, but it's video. They're like going...
Right, I know.
So, like, let's go out to Columbia, South Carolina. Let's go to Terre Haute, Indiana. I mean, they go to all these backwoods places, and... I feel like 90% of the places they go, someone is shirtless. You're absolutely right. Like, that's shirt, the shirtless thing, the visual.
Look, I'm no fashionista or anything, but there is a certain level of respect that you command when you put a shirt on. It's like, this is a man to be right. This is a guy that he's not here for nonsense. Yeah. This guy means business with his
shirt.
Mountain Dew t-shirt.
That's right. His Hams beer t-shirt. The other drama for the Patriots is on the field. They may be on the cusp of a quarterback change. Here was Gerard Mayo on Jacoby Brissett, their current starting quarterback, his performance in the loss at home to the Dolphins on Sunday.
It just wasn't good enough. You know, I thought we played well enough defensively and on special teams to win the football game. And look, as the quarterback, and he understands this, you know, he touches the ball on every single play, and we didn't win the game or score enough points to win the game. And I think he would echo that same sentiment, that it wasn't good enough.
The big thing they're talking about in New England, best I can tell, Seth, over the last couple of days since losing to Miami, is that Gerard Mayo, and he was asked like four other questions about Jacoby Brissett and the quarterback situation in that press conference. Whereas throughout the course of the season, it's been Jacoby's our starter. This was, from what I can gather, the first week where Gerard Mayo was leaving open the possibility of competition at the quarterback spot.
Yeah.
Kind of like
where
Antonio Pierce is with Gardner Minshew right now in Vegas with the Raiders.
What do you want more? Okay, what do you want more? Would you want a quarterback change and to face the rookie, or do you like the potential for quarterback controversy leading into the week?
I don't feel like Jacoby Brissett is a guy who gets uptight about that. He knows who he is. He's a backup journeyman guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so I don't think my guess is with Jacoby Brissett, he knew this day was going to come eventually anyways if they do go to Drake May. So I don't think he had any designs on, I'm going to be a 10. And I also think deep down he probably knows the team he was signing with had zero hope of getting to the playoffs this year. I'd rather face Drake May. It's point blank, period.
Just to be clear, Jacoby Brissett has yet to throw for more than 168 yards in a game this season.
Yeah.
There's a certain part of me where, even though Jacoby Brissett gives me PTSD because of various times he's upset the Texans in the past, there's a part of me that gets nervous whenever you face a rookie quarterback. Like Will Levis last year in his debut, when you don't know exactly what you're going to get, and sometimes these guys come out of the gate just swinging. That part makes me nervous. So, but at the end of the day, I think, I like the potential for mayhem if they start Drake May.
Yeah, I do too. Now, the one thing Drake May can do that Jacoby Brissett can't do, his running touchdown 8 years ago against the Texans as a rookie notwithstanding, is that Drake May can do kind of some of the stuff. Remember when Blake Bortles was a bit of a problem for the Texans, even though he sucked?
Mm-hmm.
It's because if he broke out of the pocket, he was athletic enough to make two or three plays a game that kept drives going that were very negative plays. Drake May does have that. Drake May is a good athlete. Like he could, if you let him escape the pocket and you play this game close, and I have no reason to believe the Texans are going to go in and blow anybody out at this point, especially without Nico Collins, then that's the danger zone. Like if you're in a tussle with these guys in the fourth quarter, and now all of a sudden Drake May, everything goes right, but Drake May is a good enough athlete to go get you 20 yards on a scramble. That's the part that worries me. I don't think Brissett has that club in his bag at all. Mm-hmm. So that would concern me. But yet still, the balance sheet for me is inexperience, probably turnover prone, and you got DeMeco Ryans, who's one of the smartest defensive minds in football. I'm guessing he's got a recipe to make Drake May look really, really crappy in his debut, if I had to guess. So, all right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Robert Saleh fired by the New York Jets. So Seth won the head coach death pool. He had Saleh in his group. Who's the next head coach to get fired in the NFL? Who do we think that is? That is coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. The news of the day so far in the NFL and in sports in general. I mean, they've been spending all morning on it on ESPN since it happened 30 or so minutes ago, is Robert Saleh, fired by the New York Jets, former Texans assistant back during the latter Seth Payne era is what we call that, 2006, 2007-ish.
Right, how it's generally regarded,
yep. That's how it's viewed as in the history books.
Like, a lot of people call this, this year, 18 AS.
yes,
18 years after Seth.
Yes. So Robert Saleh fired, I don't think a major surprise. Now, the last head coach to get fired this early into a season was Matt Rhule at Carolina back in 2022. And then, of course, they fired Frank Reich. They were the first. This is the first time.
That's good. That's right. Yeah, they're innovators.
This is the first time in 3 years that it's not the Carolina Panthers getting the first head coach fired. Because the last 2 years, it's been Matt Rhule, and then it was Frank Reich last year. All right, so I was just going through the standings during the break, Seth. And, man, it's so nice to have a team where your team's not in this conversation in particular. But who do we think the next head coach is to be fired? I jotted seven names down that I think could be the next head coach to be fired.
I think Doug Peterson.
He's on my list, and he's the one that we're getting the most texts about as well.
Okay.
Because I put it to the audience, and I'd love for you to weigh in. 713-572-4610 on the text page. Who do you think will be the next head coach to be fired? Robert Saleh, the first head coach to be fired. Peterson is on my list. Is that the first name? Is that the first name that popped into your head when you thought about
this? Yeah, that was the first name that popped into my head.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he's in the danger zone, man. Now, I guess the most important thing for Doug Peterson this past weekend is not only did they win a game, but Trevor Lawrence looked really good in the process.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
like 300.
I think once the quarterback gets paid, then it becomes exclusively about, all right, what do we need to do to get this quarterback going? Because he's our quarterback for the next few years. Mm-hmm. And that's when the head coach really gets put on the hot seat.
Yeah.
So he got a brief reprieve, but I think he's still very much under the gun.
Peterson is on my list. I would put Kevin Stefanski number one. I don't think that there is a – I don't think there's winning on the horizon for this team. They're in a division where you're in a division where – they probably played one or two of these teams already maybe in the first five. I don't have the Browns schedule in front of me. But you're in a division with the Ravens. You're in a division with the Steelers. You're in a division with a desperate Cincinnati team right now that's 1-4. And so that's, you know, you got 12 games left. The crux of your schedule probably still, at least, you know, close to half of it is probably still divisional games that they have.
You know, one thing that's happened, this trend where coaches aren't getting fired as early, you know, in the seasons they used to, more teams are waiting until the end. I guess why I go with Peterson is that as weird and as ugly as things are in Cleveland right now, it seems like the most reports about extreme locker room dysfunction or the coach not believing or the players not believing in the coaches, what have you, most of those have been around the Jaguars. So that's where I think a lot of owners look at it like, all right, well, this is a bad situation. We just got to get it taken care of.
Yeah, he's lost the locker room, that kind of thing.
Yeah, are the players in Cleveland blaming Stefanski for Deshaun not being a good quarterback anymore?
Well, there's definite talk of Ben, we've got that cut from Ryder that we didn't play earlier. Let's play this cut. Ben, if you can find it, just give me a thumbs up when you have it. I know you're doing stuff in there. I apologize, but it's a good cut for the purposes of this conversation. This was Daryl Ryder, who covers the Cleveland Browns for The Athletic. He was on 92.3 The Fan, our sister station, yesterday morning, and they talked about losing the locker room.
I think you might have already lost the entire locker room, to be honest with you.
He lost the locker room?
Ken, does it look like any of these offensive players want to play with this guy?
I'm just asking.
And I'm just giving you an answer. Okay. The offensive line doesn't block for him. They don't run for him. They don't catch footballs for him. They don't run the right routes for him. They do nothing for this guy. He's a captain, by the way. They did nothing to earn that title, but they named this guy a team captain. Should tell you all you need to know. The backup quarterback gives the pregame pep talks, but they named Deshaun Watson a team captain. They have inauthentic leadership on this team.
So the question was, has Deshaun lost the locker room? But for purposes of what we're talking about, it doesn't matter if it's Stefanski or Deshaun, because Deshaun still has way too much money on the cap for them to move on from Deshaun. Like, if the quarterback, this is one of those situations where they are so committed to this quarterback, and this quarterback is so bad, but they've got to keep riding it to where it doesn't matter who lost the locker room. It's going to fall on the head coach's head because he's easier to sever ties with, and they may need to run a system that tries to at least get something out of this sunken cost.
The thing is, and I guess when we say they can't get rid of Deshaun or they can't bench him, I guess that becomes the big question. Like, obviously, they theoretically, they could. You just have to sit there with an extremely – so it would be hard. It's, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't to actually try to compete as a team. I mean, in the short term, would Stefanski – would he be better off if he just says, nope, I don't care what you say, Deshaun's not starting this week?
Yes.
You know, and like, would they be better in the short term? Probably. But I don't think he has the power to do that. And that just speaks to – he's up against it. There's no salvation for him.
There isn't, and but I don't know that staying the head coach – like, look, if you – I mean, I guess the question would be if he's contravening direct orders from ownership to start him, is that enough insubordination for him to not get paid the extension that he just signed last year after winning coach of the freaking year in the NFL? Like, he's due a lot of money still. Now, I don't think money's a problem for the Haslams. I just think that thing, they're in a maze right now, and they're running into walls. Like, there's no exit from this maze that they're in. They're stuck, and they're a bad football team. They're actually not even a bad football team. They're an okay football team with a horrific quarterback who has zero leadership chops right now. So I've got Stefanski on my list. I've got Peterson on my list. I put Zach Taylor on my list only because the Bengals are 1-4, but I don't feel like the Bengals – it sounds weird. I don't feel like they're a bad football team. I feel like they've lost some close games this year.
They're going to be one – there's a very good chance that they're one of these teams that because they don't catch the early narrative, even if they come back and start playing really good football, I think they'll be kind of forgotten about unless Joe Burrow goes off on a tear or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think that they would. I think they got to ride it out with him for at least the rest of the season.
Yeah, and they're a cheap team too. Like, I don't know what his contract situation is. They kept Marvin Lewis around for damn near 15 years without having won a playoff game because they didn't want to fire
him. I always
him.
Wonder what Marvin Lewis would have been like at a team with resources. Yeah. You know, back when, because when Marvin Lewis was there, that was before the Bengals decided to get at least a little bit more aggressive in free agency and everything. Because Lewis did an astoundingly good job for a team that had nothing but castaways for a long time.
Yes. Yes. I've got Sirianni, one of your picks. I've got him on my list here. I think, you know, there's some definite forks in the road coming up here for the Eagles probably on the schedule. I mean, they're only 2-2
now. I put out just a little video of Bobby Slowick from his press conference last week where he was – I liked what he was saying about the importance of the run game because he wasn't just speaking in cliches. And then – when the Texans opened up getting stuffed in the run game for like a few – I was like, oh, boy, that video is not aging well at all. But I say all that to say that it's funny because that it was a YouTube short. It got picked up big time by Philadelphia fans.
Oh, really?
Those are the ones commenting on it and everything. That's basically funny. Saying like, you see, this is what actually – they were using it as a way to criticize Sirianni. And I'm like, oh, they don't know how bad the Texans' run game is. they haven't brought that up yet.
Yeah. Okay. The other three names I have on my list, again, this is for next head coach to get fired. The Jets fired Robert Saleh. It was reported about 40 minutes ago. Dennis Allen of the Saints, I think, is back in the mix. They were 2-0 to start the season and looked like they were the toast of the league. They're 2-3 now. They've lost 3 in a row, the Saints have.
Yeah, I feel jilted a little bit. Clint Kubiak was like the next head coach hired after that Cowboys game, and they've just kind of sputtered out a little bit.
Yep. I think Brian Daboll is still very much in play, even though they're 2-3 right now. They've won a couple games. Big win in Seattle this past weekend. I think Brian Daboll is still firmly on the list. And I put Dave Canales on there, too. I don't think we can discount the Mad King aspect of David Tepper, the owner of the Carolina Panthers.
No.
Could for sure see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, Cleveland's schedule, they're 1-4. Seth, this is their schedule. These are their four games leading up to the bye week. At Philadelphia, home for a desperate Cincinnati team, home for Baltimore, home for the Chargers. The Chargers are not a bad football team anymore.
No.
They could be 1-7 or what would that be? 1-8 going into the bye.
What are the chances? How does this affect Aaron Rodgers' retirement odds, do you think? Robert Saleh being fired. Do you think that this is something that he's going to want to – well, he'll get to hand select – whichever head coach that he might want.
Yeah.
And I feel it might be A.J. Hawk. I think they're going to hire A.J. Hawk.
McAfee and Hawk.
McAfee himself.
McAfee special teams coach. No, it'll be McAfee special teams coach, Hawk defensive coordinator, and Aaron Rodgers head coach / offensive coordinator.
And Randall Cobb will be GM.
Yes. Odds, there are odds out on this. Will Aaron Rodgers retire before next season? Yes is plus 150. So yes is the underdog, but not a heavy underdog. Plus 150, $100 to win you 150.
So who will be back for the Jets in 2025? It was plus 140 that both Rodgers and Saleh would be back.
That's a dead ticket. That's a dead ticket as of today.
Robert Saleh only was at plus 350.
That's a really dead ticket. Yep.
Aaron Rodgers only was plus 240. I'm guessing that's probably improved a little bit.
Yeah, I think it might be the chalk right now. Someone says, well, Deshaun Watson got sacked 7 times Sunday. Can't put all the blame on him. If I had to guess, I haven't watched all 7 sacks, but just based on watching Deshaun Watson through the years, I'm going to guess at least 3 of them were on him.
He's been getting blamed for a lot of his pressure and sacks. Yeah.
Yep. John Lopez is here. Reggie Atatula is here.
Yo.
They are in the loop. Big news, man. Robert Saleh fired.
How about that?
Yeah.
I think it's good. Boy, there are so many different directions, and you guys have been doing a good job of it that you can go with this because well, first of all, why don't they just go ahead and make Aaron Rodgers the head coach?
That's what I was just saying. Just do it.
Well, you know what's funny about that is that you look at the Jets' offense and it doesn't look like it's evolved the way modern offenses do with so much pre-snap motion and everything else. They just kind of line up and do their thing, and the fact that Nathaniel Hackett is their offensive coordinator. And specifically because Aaron Rodgers just likes him, despite Nathaniel Hackett never showing any actual competency as a coordinator or as a head coach or anything else. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's a weird. I feel bad for Jets fans.
I wonder if Rodgers even really wants to have like the title. I feel like he wants to be like a puppet master. Like
that's kind of what he is.
Have someone in front of him.
Yes,
he has the power. He wants to be Karl Rove.
You weren't here for this, Reggie.
LeBron.
LeBron
will act like he doesn't actually have any power or say in things as they're drafting his son to the team.
That's the best analogy. That's better than the analogy I was going to make. The analogy I was going to make, which I think is a little apropos. Remember when Bill O'Brien didn't have the title of GM, but we all knew he was the GM, and we would ask, like, well, who's making these decisions? And it's like, well, it's really,
collaborative.
It's a group of people. It's a really unique flat organizational structure that we
remember
have.
The flat organization?
Flat org structure, baby.
He was acting like they sat around meditating, like coming up with new age ideas and everything.
They were throwing darts.
Yeah.
They were throwing darts.
But I'm only, like, half kidding about that. Like, he's the head coach.
Well, he's definitely the one pushing the buttons.
Yeah.
I mean, this is an Aaron Rodgers thing, it would appear.
Yeah.
So, we'll see what happens. People are having fun at Deshaun's expense on the text page today, too. If you guys come in and see some of those crumbs on there.
Yeah, I do appreciate the people rally around the petty cast.
Continue that on. Turns out we have a lot of people that listen that are very petty. Hey, do you guys have anything you're petty about today that you'd like to?
What are we petty about today?
Yeah.
I don't know, first and second down efficiency.
Oh, I saw that. Did you see the same thing I did where the Texans are like bottom three in first and second down?
Yeah.
They're the greatest show on turf on third and fourth.
Yeah.
You have to be in order to actually get production after first and second downs being so bad.
Yeah.
It's not good at all. In fact, I kind of was stumbling as I was just rotating through various metrics. Even like individual, like first down rushing.
Yeah.
What would you consider to be their best week running the football this season?
Well, easily week one, right?
That week, their production and their efficiency on first down ranked 31st.
Really?
Amongst all first down.
I feel like Joe was getting them into like second and three on the regular, but they.
You thought.
I thought.
And that was the best one that they had.
Yeah, okay.
Well, yeah, because I think part of it too is that it's funny because people hear first and second down efficiency and immediately they think, this isn't what you're doing, Reggie. But immediately they think, oh, it's this is because the run game sucks. But yeah, they throw on first down a lot. They just haven't actually been good at it.
Correct. Yeah. We were saying earlier that Dare Ogunbowale has the best job in the NFL. Because in what other job could you rush 15 times for 30 yards and be lauded as special?
In the
coach's
post-game press. Right, he works for that.
I love Dare for what he is.
He's been in the mailroom for a long time, handling special teams and such.
Yeah, that's true. He's emergency kicker and whatnot. Yeah,
he's Alfred Blue on a good team.
I said this yesterday, and even after reading more stuff and thinking about that game on Sunday, he's Mauricio Dubon, where he's utility guy, comes in spots.
Yeah.
Everybody loves him in the dosage that you get him, but think that Like, there are people that think Mauricio Dubon should be playing every day for the Houston Astros. Yes. Try doing that. Try playing Mauricio Dubon 150 games and see how you like having him in the lineup for that often. And similarly, try feeding Dario Gumbawale the ball 20 times a game for an extended period of time.
Especially in a loaded box. My comp is Dwight Howard. Just like you know how you had to get Dwight his touches in the post so he could try to make Shaq happy by being an old school center. Yeah. And then as long as you got him his touches in the post, he'd be Euro center the rest of the game. That's where Gumbawale is. Get him his touches in the post, and then he can be Euro center as a receiver.
Poor Dare, man. If I'm Dare, I'm listening to that. I'm legit angry at that.
Well, he should be.
There's a difference in motivation.
Sure.
With Dwight, it was with Dare, they're getting him his touches in the post just to keep the defenses honest. It's not because his ego needs it.
No, I got you. All right, we're done. We're out of time. Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Oh, the show's done?
Show's over, man. Yeah.
I mean, overtime.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
Flew by.
Show's over. Wow. It was a good show. Yeah, it was a fun show today.
Overtime?
Like unconscious.
Oh, it's overtime.
Awesome.
Overtime. Come on, Seth.
I don't get paid by the hour. All right, we're done. We are out of time.